Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 16 of the K-Pop Weekly Podcast with Emily Mallon. I'm your host, and I'm extra excited for this week's episode because it's finally here. Fandom face-off, ATEEZ versus NGEN. I've got my two contestants waiting in the wings and a very special guest judge I'm really excited to introduce you to. You know, Fandom Face-Off was born from this idea that K-pop fans can be friendly and civil and celebrate their favorite music without tearing down other artists and fandoms. The first one went well. We'll see how tonight goes. I'm really excited to talk about and hype in and ATEEZ. But before we get to that, a little bit of housekeeping. KPopWeeklyPodcast.com is officially up and running, so be sure to check that out. That's an easy place to find the video, audio content, newsletter, social media, an easy way to get in contact with me if you'd like. So check out the podcast. Patreon is up and running. Please join, support the show, and the merch is on its way. I've been working really hard to bring you some cool merch. Got my samples in. Some were okay. Some maybe weren't so great. So it's coming, I promise. That will be on the official website once it goes live. So keep an eye out for that. Thank you for joining me. 16 weeks. I'm really grateful for all of my listeners, followers, viewers. I love doing this. I love music. And I love K-pop more than anything. So to be able to do this show, bring you my thoughts on new music, reviews, news, just talk about K-pop every week is such a blessing that I don't take for granted. So thank you for being here. I'm going to stop rambling, however, because we have a huge show this week and I want to jump right into it. It is time for Fandom Face-Off. Let's go.
Our second Fandom Face-Off, ATEEZ versus NGEN, is here. Thank you all so much for joining us. I have an amazing guest judge and two fantastic contestants representing the ATEEZ fandom and the ENHYPEN fandom. If you don't know what Fandom Face-Off is, the name sounds intense and scary, but really what this is a way to talk about our favorite music, our favorite groups, and keep it fun, keep it civil. Realize we all love K-pop for similar reasons. We're in this together. And all of these groups have a very different sound. I get kind of tired of people characterizing it as boy band, bubblegum pop. Once you get into K-pop, there's something for everyone, no matter what your music tastes are. And I think tonight is a good example of that. ENHYPEN and ATEEZ, different vibe, different sound. So we're going to hear from two fans who love these groups passionately. And then our special guest judge will be the deciding factor, the deciding vote. It's his opinion. It's what he vibes with. That will be the winner. So without further ado, I want to introduce this guest judge. This is Paul Gosselin. Paul, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you here. Quickly, I want to tell everybody about Paul. Paul is a super talent. You know, in Hollywood, we talk about like hyphenated talent. That's Paul. He's not only an actor, he's a producer, a director, a writer. He's currently working on the fourth season of his web series titled Misguided. If you're a soap opera fan, anyone out there who loves soaps, you probably know who Paul is. This is Paul's world. If you love soaps, he's your guy, and Misguided is your show. If you haven't checked it out, there's links in the description. Please check out Paul's show. He's so talented. It's so cool. Anyways, without further, as I gush and gush over my friend Paul. Paul, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for agreeing to do this. I've tried to get you into K-pop, but you've only watched a few music videos, and specifically Monsta X. You guys, I tried to get Paul to Monsta X. I thought maybe that would be his wheelhouse. We haven't quite gotten there. So tonight, I'm guessing he's going to be at ATEEZ or at NGEN by the time we leave. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Thank you so much for having me, Emily. What a fantastic introduction.
I feel like anytime I'm excited and I do this on the podcast, I will talk about my favorite groups for like 20 minutes. I just gush uncontrollably. And I've actually had a few comments like, wow, you really liked that one. You were gushing over them. And I realize that's the way I am. So obviously, not only because Paul's my friend, but if you guys are into soap operas or really just great television, good shows, check out Misguided. Paul has created this entire show that is so well done. And to know that he's behind the scenes doing the production, directing, everything else, my hat's off to you. Doing a podcast is overwhelming for me. I can't imagine the workload that you've done the past few years.
Thanks. I love it. I love it. And I think that's why I am excited to keep going. So.
Okay, let's move on. It's time to meet our contestants. First, from Kansas City, Bethany will be representing Engine. Some of you may recognize Bethany, and you may really recognize her voice from the Standing BTS podcast. That's a longtime K-pop podcast. Bethany is an OG in this space. I'm honored to have her on the show. I believe it started in 2018. Is that right, Bethany?
Yep. 2018. Yeah. It's a long time.
I feel old in the space of K-pop podcasts, and I started in 2020. 2018, you are like a pioneer in this game.
Crazy. Doesn't feel that long, but yeah, it's a while.
Just a little bit. I have to ask you before we move on, since your podcast is about BTS, who is your BTS bias and wrecker?
My BTS bias is Taeyang. V has been my bias for a long time, but I guess it's really, J-Hope has kind of been a double bias for me. Yeah, so I would say those two are like my main ones.
I love it. J-Hope snuck up on me so much. And I think I mentioned to you, Bethany, when we were emailing about filming this episode, I rewatched his documentary on Disney Plus recently. Oh, when J-Hope's solo album, this is just an aside, his solo stuff I thought was so impressive, and his documentary on Disney Plus, it's on there right now. Check it out if you haven't.
Mm-hmm. So good.
But yeah. So clearly Bethany has immaculate taste. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this and for coming on the show. I'm so excited to have you, and I can't wait to hear all about and hype in from you.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I've been really looking forward to doing this.
Yay. And last but certainly not least, most of you will recognize our next contestant. She has been on my show a few times now, hailing from DC. Meg will be representing A&E. Full disclosure, Meg is doing me a solid, stepping in last minute. The person cast to represent A&E for this Phantom Face-Off had to drop out the 11th hour. So Meg graciously stepped in to help me out, because I knew she's a huge A&E and she would represent the fandom well. Meg, thank you so much for agreeing to do this and for coming back to the show. Welcome back. Always happy to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me back. Yeah, I love many groups, but I love A&E's so much. So I knew that I could, at any second, I could talk about A&E's for like a half hour. So. And I do like, Bethany and I are good friends. So I was like really excited, doubly excited. Like my two friends, plus Kayla, who's Bethany's co-host, who I made through listening to K-pop podcasts, is like you two. So it's just like a whole combo of my worlds. All like people I used to listen to, and now that I'm actually friends with you. So it's great.
I love it so much. And I had no idea. I didn't know this at all. And then we come on to kind of off camera, talk about how the show's going to go. And Bethany's like, oh my God, Meg. So this is really exciting to have two contestants that know each other in real life, battle it out and represent different groups. Most of us are multis, meaning we like different groups in K-pop. This is just to kind of represent one that you're very passionate about and you think their music deserves some attention. Okay, before we get started, right there, when I just said that, I realized there's some lingo you may not be familiar with, Paul. So I want to give you a couple of things so you know what we're talking about. Paul's sitting there like, oh no. Okay. So when we say bias is your favorite member. So that's just who's your favorite member of the group. Bias wrecker is your second favorite member, the one that would wreck that, you know, number one spot. He could come take you away. When we talk about new music releases, a lot of times we'll talk about comebacks. That just means new music dropped. They call it a comeback in K-pop. Is there anything else that I'm forgetting? that might come up in conversation. Okay.
Now that, well, I can think of.
Yeah, if it does, I'll try to catch it and explain it to you, Paul. Feel free to ask questions. We kind of like live in our own world in K-pop. It's its own thing. So sometimes I forget that non-fans are like, what is happening? Okay, let's get to these groups. Tonight, we're talking about ATEEZ and ENHYPEN. If you're not familiar with ATEEZ, 8-member boy group, they debuted in 2018 under KQ Entertainment. And the fans, like Meg, are called ATEEZ. ENHYPEN is a 7-member boy group. They debuted, and they were formed, I should say, in 2020 by B-Lift Lab. It was on a reality show called Island. Their fans are called ENGINE. So we have 2 boy groups, 7 members, 8 members. ATEEZ is a couple years older, but, you know, a little bit similar timelines and group members. So the way this is going to work, each contestant is going to share their story of why they love the group. I have a few questions, but it's really just a way to talk about why you're passionate about this group, why you think they're the best. And then we're going to discuss the songs and music videos that our contestants prepared for Paul. So Paul came into this having watched 2 music videos, listened to 2 songs. So you probably have an idea of maybe what you vibe with, Paul. But the next portion, this is the plea from the fans. So maybe something that they say will sway you their way. So listen carefully. Okay, up first, Bethany, you're going to start things off for us. So number one, how did you get into ENHYPEN?
Yeah, so I really love this story and how I got into ENHYPEN. So I'm obviously a big BTS fan. So it was actually at the Permission to Dance LA concert when I got introduced to ENHYPEN. So my co-host Kayla and I, we decided to celebrate my birthday because it was around the time of my birthday with some of our good friends who have a ENHYPEN podcast. And so we met up. We're at this like rooftop restaurant in Hollywood. It was like really wonderful to just catch up. And our friend Nate, who is the co-host of this ENHYPEN podcast, it's called I Got Pushed. And he said, would you want to like go back to my hotel room and like us 4 can all watch just ENHYPEN videos? I said, sure, why not? Like I would love to do that, you know? And I had heard the song Drunk Dazed. So I kind of was like, well, I really like that song. And so he showed me all of it. And I mean, the second I saw Give and Taken, Fever, all of that, I was just like, I was fully in, like almost right away. And so it was just really neat to be in LA. I've never been to LA before. I was with my like really good friends. Like we're talking about podcasting, we're talking about all of that. And then I just fully fell in love with ENHYPEN. So that's kind of like my ENHYPEN anniversary.
I love it. It's perfect because I'm now based out of LA. Paul and I are in LA. I want to ask you, what night of Permission to Dance did you go to?
Oh, goodness. I can't even remember which night it was. I feel bad.
I was there the first night.
I feel like it could have been the first night that I was there. No, I really don't know.
Yeah, Bethany, I think I went to the first night. You guys went after because I remember you were like, don't tell me, like, don't probably, give any spoilers. Yeah. But you were asking us like, because I went to the second day as well. And you were like, okay, where do we, because it was so confusing getting into that venue as an aside. But I think you went to at least the night that was not the first night.
Yeah, you're so right. I usually do day 2 anyways, so that makes sense. Yeah.
But yeah, I think so off topic. I'm like, tell me everything. Also, when is your birthday?
It's November 29th.
Oh my God. Okay, first of all, mine's November 30th. So
I'm pretty sure that's ENHYPEN's debut date. I'm pretty sure.
I asked that because when you said Permission to Dance in LA, I'm like, your birthday, that was around Thanksgiving. Maybe she's also a Sagittarius.
I am a Sagittarius.
Besties are like connecting right here, speaking of podcasters and K-pop fans. I also love the story that this guy's like, do you want to go back to my hotel room? I know. This is how wholesome K-pop is, Paul. This is what you would do. You would go watch videos and be like, I love this group. This is what we do. I love it. That's really special.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, who is your bias and your wrecker in Enhypen?
So I am like a diehard Hee-sung bias. Like I could talk about Hee-sung forever. I think I've messaged Meg, like I could literally talk about Hee-sung forever if you ever want to talk about him. Hee-sung is for sure my bias. My bias wrecker has changed constantly. I have a really hard time. Like I feel like all of them are always catching my eye. But as of lately, it's been Jungwon.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Meg's bias. Meg's bias.
Full disclosure, Hee-sung's my bias. I'm the same way. Like the second I reviewed their debut and the second I saw him, I was like, whoever that kid is, it's a star. Who is that? And that's never changed. I think he's really impressive. Nikki has been my wrecker recently. Nikki, like all of a sudden, I'm like, look at this kid. He's amazing. Let's talk about their music. Why do you love their music? What do you think makes it stand out, or what's kind of your favorite part or elements to what they do?
Yeah. I really love all of their discography. I feel like, I don't know if it's just my particular taste that it really feeds to, but I love the kind of variety that they have, but I feel like they really execute that like dark pop, but also like EDM dance. And they can also do kind of like punk concepts too. Like I just feel that they have such range, and then you can see them do these real lovey-dovey songs like Polaroid Love, which is one of my all-time favorite songs too. So they just have such a good mix, and I feel like all of the songs they do, they just like really outdo it. I feel like it just suits them. They suit all of it really well.
Okay, last question. Have you seen them in concert? And if you have, what was that experience like?
Yeah, I have seen them in concert twice now. I saw them for Manifesto in like Fort Worth, Texas. That was the first concert I had. I had Soundcheck and Floor. That was my first time having a Soundcheck experience. So it was really great to see them there because it was very, very close and personal. And then I saw them again for their Fate tour in Chicago. And again, got Soundcheck, Floor. I'm usually on the floor. That's usually the route I go. Oh my gosh, the Fate tour, the best way I could put it is like I saw BTS in Fort Worth for their Love Yourself tour, and we had like Floor then, and it was just a lot of similar feelings of like being next to second stage and the interaction. It was great to see kind of like their growth and just how much energy they have. They are such great performers. Like their performance caliber is insane. So wonderful concerts. One of the best nights of my life was the Fate in Chicago concert.
There's something about Chicago. I will say that because my old podcast partner and I, we saw Stray Kids in Chicago during the Maniac tour. And there was something about that venue and that show that was special to me as well. So shout out Chicago. Some K-pop magic air in Chicago. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, Bethany. Paul, hopefully you were paying attention.
Yes.
Okay. Meg, it's your turn. Similar questions. Let us know, how did you get into ATEEZ?
So I got into ATEEZ in the kind of like fall of 2020. They were like the first group that I really got into after BTS. And also like kind of the same time I got into Enhypen because I watched Island when it was airing. So, but ATEEZ, I had a friend who was a mutual on Twitter, and I found her through BTS, but she would always post these photos of this one guy. Like every day, she was obsessed with this one guy. And I finally asked her, I was like, okay, like who is this guy? Because he's beautiful. And it was Hongjun from ATEEZ. So she was like, here are a few videos, like watch them. And I was already into K-pop. So I knew, I was like, I'm ready to get into like a second group. And I fell in love with them, and they're probably like, they're in my like alt groups like category. They're at the top. I think that the whole group is amazing and so talented, but I really think that like their performance quality is just on like the biggest level that I've ever seen. I think that they have like a huge talent for it, and also similar to Bethany talking about Enhypen, like I think that ATEEZ's discography is like, I love every single song. There's like maybe one song that I would not listen to every time it comes on, but like every other one I think is great. So, and I really like I like some like emo, like moody stuff, like Emily knows, but okay. I also really like just like loud, exciting music. So ATEEZ is essentially like, that's like their bread and butter. So it's like, why they're a group. They're like a performance group, almost not like before their vocals are rap, but like they are a performance over everything. So I just think it's incredible. And I got my mom into ATEEZ too. So my goal is to bring my mom to an ATEEZ concert when they come on tour this year. Like, I'm going to do it.
I feel like the overarching theme, it's like we're all like, the, for lack of a better word, it's like we're drug pushers. It's like, I got this person into it. You ask the question, like, who is that? Oh, here's some music videos. Just watch these real quick. There's this like mentality with K-pop fans where we're like, what would you call it? Like, evangelical about it. We're spreading the gospel of it and really pushing it on people at every chance someone's this interested. It's so funny how we're all like, oh wait, here's a picture, check this out, did you listen to that song I sent you? I love it, and I love that your friend got you into it. Okay, yeah. Meg, who is your ATEEZ bias and your ATEEZ wrecker? Talk about these guys you love.
So my ATEEZ bias, I'm actually wearing a shirt, but my ATEEZ bias is Wooyoung. He is like one of my old biases. I love him so much. I care about him like so deeply. I think he is just like so amazingly talented, and he's adorable, and he's also kind of sassy, so I love that about him. And then my wrecker is San. So he is kind of like, not, I don't know, he and William are kind of similar, but San is like the one in the music videos and in concerts who is going the most all out that you have ever seen. He like breaks his mics all the time because like he's just going so crazy. And I think I love him also because Wooyoung and San are like commonly like paired up together, like they're best friends. So I kind of like both of them for that reason, I think, too. So
that makes sense. And we have it's so funny. You guys are the best guests because I'm like, that's my bias too. That's my bias too. Wooyoung is also my bias at ATEEZ. So shout out. We've got Heesung, Wooyoung. Great taste all around, ladies.
Obviously.
Meg, what do you think makes their music different or stands out? Or what do you really connect with ATEEZ's music?
I think ATEEZ is, there's a thing that people say about K-pop a lot when they're trying to not compare it to other genres, but point out like the pros of it and why people get so attached to the music. And it's that it's a whole experience that's not just auditory, but it's like a visual experience, and it's about the concept, it's about the members of the group and how attached you are to them, but then it's about like the storyline the group has. They release albums in a certain order, so they all connect together, and you really almost like, it's not like you have to watch something along with listening to music, but it's so important to do that, I feel like. And I think ATEEZ is a huge example of that. They just, like I said earlier, like their level of performance is so high. And I have seen them a few times in concert, and like their concert was like the best concert that I've seen like in my entire life. And I've seen like a lot of K-pop concerts, and it's just that the energy they bring is crazy. But then off stage, this is like also what people like about K-pop is like, we call it like, this is a vocab word for everyone, but like the duality of an idol is like the contrast between what they are on stage and what they are off stage. And ATEEZ is like a huge representative of that, because you could watch them on stage and they are so intense looking, and they have a lot of like makeup and like crazy hair and like big outfits, and their dance is really big. And then off stage, they're just like really sweet, like super kind guys. And their fandom has often talked about how like inclusive they feel in like an ATEEZ fandom. And the members really talk about like, it's like sounds cliche, but like BTS is like this too, but like being who you are and like welcoming everyone. And I feel like their leader does a really, really good job of that. So yeah, I could go on, but you know.
No, that was perfect. That was really well done. Thank you. And you mentioned you've seen them live and you love the live experience of ATEEZ, right?
Yeah, I saw them. They did a tour. They did two tours last year. So I saw both of those, and then I saw them at KCON with Emily that day. Yes. Emily and I were not sitting together, but we were there together, and
yes,
they're gonna go on tour. yeah they're gonna go on tour this year too, so I will see them this year. I know it. So
Yeah, of course. These groups, K-pop groups never stop touring, Paul. Like, it's, they work so hard. And on top of all the releases and music videos and all of the kind of, we call fan service, like meet and greets and phone calls with fans and all of this stuff they do, they tour nonstop. So yeah, ATEEZ did like that tour twice last year. They came, I saw the same show twice, really, yeah. And KCON. So like three times. So they work their butts off. All these groups never that's stop. It's good, but it's exhausting.
That's the other thing that I wanted to add. Actually, you reminded me, Emily, that one of the other reasons I love ATEEZ is they came from like a smaller label. They only had their group. Their group was formed because their leader basically wanted to produce music, went to a company that had no trainees and was like, I really want to be a producer. Like, can I work here? And he just waited there until they got more trainees and then they formed ATEEZ. And they've always had that like slight underdog story. But yeah. I think that even now they are like a pretty well-known like named group in the K-pop community now. And they still do every single like fan meet possible. They go to KCON and they're walking around like the KCON like convention floor every single day. And they don't have to do that. Like Stray Kids came in and just performed and left. Like you don't, they do still so much that they did even when they were like a young group and they needed to really like prove themselves. And I think it's really admirable. And I also then do get a little bit stressed that they're working too hard, as all of us do about all of our groups. Because you can say it about like all of our groups are working
every
like,
group
way too hard. Every group is like genuinely. But ATEEZ is, they're still as like hungry for it and love their fans as much as they were at the beginning. So
a passion plea from Meg. That was great. Thank you, Bethany. Thank you, Meg. That was really, I feel like Paul, I don't know where you're leaning, but those were both really good. So let's talk about the songs and music videos, because I'm dying to hear what you thought about these, Paul. We're going to start with ENHYPEN. Bethany chose one song and one music video for Paul's consideration that she felt like kind of sums up who the group is. I know that that's so hard because all of these groups are pretty multifaceted. So it's hard to just pick one. Thank you for doing that. Bethany chose the song Criminal Love. And I believe that was from, was it a soundtrack, Dark Moon, The Blood Altar?
Yes, it was an original soundtrack for their like webtoon, which is like their like vampire lore that they have going on. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. That was released in 2023, right?
Yes, it was. Yeah, I wanted to pick a recent song and I'm just like, that was my most listened to. So I was like, I have to go with my gut, even though it's not even on an album.
I love it. Criminal Love so much.
It's I'm a slept like, on B-side. It's yeah. Flowing.
It's so good.
Yeah. I've got to be real. I was like, oof, look at this choice.
I also just feel like it's like a fan favorite too for NGN. Like I just felt like I'm really representing NGN by picking that one.
You are. You are. For the music video, Bethany chose Drunk Dazed. That was the title track from the 2021 EP Border Carnival. Another, like, I think, fandom favorite for ENHYPEN fans. Let's talk about what you thought, Paul. What did you think of the song and the music video?
Criminal Love, I loved it. I listened to it on repeat because I was like, this is so good. And then I started dancing in my apartment. I immediately added, I have a list. So I have a playlist that I have as like my go-to songs that are just, it's like, it's a long list, but it's just like every song I like on there because eventually I'll just listen to the whole thing. And anyway, I added it immediately. I was like, oh, whenever this is on, I'm going to love it. This is going to be so great.
Wow.
I thought it was really catchy. I thought it was like, there was like a good feel to it. The musicality was really, really great. Can I talk about the video?
Let's talk about this music video.
What?
Yeah, that checks out for that. Yeah.
Knowing nothing, not so hearing that there's this vampire lore, I guess, now with this group, there some of this does make sense now. Like, I'm like, okay, get this blood thing, but
yeah,
I'm watching it, I'm just I couldn't take my eyes off of it. I was like, I don't know what's happening. I love this. I love the visuals. There was there was a scene with the fountain. And then he pours something in, and then all of a sudden it's dripping down. Oh God. But speaking of what is it called when it's your first pick, your guy that you like?
Your bias.
Okay. So I don't know anyone's name, so I apologize.
Okay.
But this is my
bias. We'll figure it out.
I only have one bias. He's the, like, out of everyone that I saw, this is the one bias.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know if you can tell, but he's
holding it up.
Wore the red jacket.
Wait, we cannot see it.
Oh, no.
Okay, let's figure it out, ladies. Who wore the red jacket?
Who wore the red
jacket? I have, like, so many screen grabs from this video on my phone.
We'll figure it out in 2 seconds. We're all, like, K-pop detectives.
Oh, it's Nikki.
Oh my God!
I'm pretty sure because he has purple hair and
that
screenshot that you showed us.
Yes,
that's Nikki. Yeah. He is one of the best dancers. Like, he is such a fantastic performer. His dancing is like the best. He like helps like create choreography for the group. So yeah,
he's like one of the best dancers in K-pop probably.
Yeah,
in K-pop, honestly.
Yeah. He's like everyone. And Paul, he's my wrecker right now. I love Nikki, and he's like super, like, he's tall and handsome, and he has such a like confident presence. Oof.
Yeah.
I like this bias choice, Paul. Congratulations, you picked your first K-pop bias.
I love that.
It makes sense that, like, you're talking about his dancing. Like, my eyes were drawn to him. Like, he just was like, boo. Like, choreography was so good in that video. I mean, I enjoyed it.
Yay. Oh, I love that. Wow. It sounds like Paul really enjoyed Enhypen. So we have to get his opinions on ATs. I feel like ATs is so different from what we just talked about. This is a great kind of fandom face-off for multiple reasons, but I love that they have such a different vibe. So for ATs, Meg picked the song The Leaders off the album Zero Fever Part 2 that was released in 2021. For the music video, Meg chose Bouncy off the album The World Episode 2 Outlaw. That was released in 2023. That was a massive mega hit. I did some weird thing when I just said it because we all know like that choreography. Let's talk about it. Paul, what did you think of this song and this music video?
Okay, so when I first listened to these songs, I thought they were warriors. Like, they are warriors. They are going into battle. They are doing their most. And then I saw the music video and I was like, okay, I was right. They are here to perform. So I'm going to be really honest. I liked the other song that the person submitted first. The one that dropped out.
I really liked
that symphony something.
Wonderland. Wonderland Symphony 9.
That song has they released Wonderland on a regular album, and then they went on this like survival show called Kingdom, and they had to do like remakes and like bigger performances of like their songs. So they reworked that song and like added Symphony number 9 to that. And that, like, they have to do that every time on tour now because we can't listen to the regular Wonderland anymore. It has to be, like, the remix. That remix is amazing. So I totally,
Okay. Yeah. Great. I was like, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. Like, that was just like, I vibed a lot.
Okay. And then what about the music video? So you have Bouncy. Okay.
Bouncy is cinematic gold. Like, there's so much to it that I didn't know what was coming next. Like, there was martial arts, there was cowboys, they were the dancing,
motorcycles, like
everything. They just threw it all together and it still made sense. Like, all of it just together worked. But the only one that I like, my bias in that is not a member, and I apologize. But I really love that they
have. Is it the parrot?
Is the parrot? She's like, oh, the parrot, of course.
No, so I like, oh my gosh. So to give like Paul context for Bouncy, like Bouncy came out in the summer. It was like right at the beginning of July. I want to say it was July. And mm-hmm. It became like the song of the summer for like any like multi stan like K-pop fan. Like that is,
yeah,
it just took over so much because it is such an impressive song. And it's a song that like I can listen to. I've listened to the song like hundreds of times and watched the music video actually so many times. I watched every stage, I watched every fan cam of it, and it just like feels the same excitement as I did when I first saw it. But when they really like when the music video came, I watched it at midnight, and when the parrot starts coming in, it just like I just like fell off the couch. I was like, what is going on? Like in a great way, but it's just I could see how the parrot's here bias. Like it really stands out, the parrot. Yeah.
Steals focus.
Yeah. But not too much, because I still really liked everyone else. I just thought, I was like, this is so genius to incorporate it. And like, its mouth was moving with the word, like it was singing. The parrot was singing.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah. My, to give like context for my biases, they're the two that are in like the boxing ring. So like, they're the, Wooyoung, my bias is like the one who's like whispering to Sun's ear, like, you need to do this because they're trying to win like the match or whatever. But anyway,
the match,
whatever it is. ATEEZ has like an insane storyline that actually kind of makes sense, even though it's really in depth. But they're going into other like other realms now. So it's there's a lot of stuff going on.
They're like in different universes.
I didn't know that they had any kind of like lore. I feel like in Hypen's lore is so like very straightforward. Like they are vampires and they are committed to it.
And I love it. Hypen. Yeah. So like that's something that's special in K-pop too, Paul. A lot of these groups have really heavy storylines throughout their entire like career. So all these albums, the songs, the music videos tie into their storyline. So for fans, it's really exciting because you're watching the story progress with the new releases. In Hypen's, they're vampires. Their debut, they were teenage boys that got turned to vampires. I'm with you, Bethany. I was like, this is brilliant. This is like it's very straightforward. Who doesn't love like
everyone can get to a bit vampire concept. Like everyone's been through a you know some kind of vampire. Yeah.
A hot guy is a vampire. Oh no! Like please, please.
Yeah.
And then ATEEZ, they have a really complex storyline. That goes back in time. There's evil ATEEZ, Hala ATEEZ are like the evil ones. They like face off with their evil counterparts. There's a scary pirate ship that scares me in every music video. They have like
there's
this
like
whole...
a, yeah, there's like a pirate concept that kind of goes through a lot of stuff, but then they go into, they're going into other like, it's like they're fighting like their darker selves and their like regular selves kind of, but... Anyway, you could also watch Bouncy and like Paul didn't need to know all that. And you're still like, hey, that's a good, you know,
but I like Paul that you mentioned like the blood in the Enhypen video. You're like, what is happening? Because that was bold in that music video. That's a moment.
It's very bold. I think of like Sunghoon. I'm pretty sure the end of the music video where there's blood coming down from the ceiling on the walls. Like maybe, you know, like it's intense. And I guess if you didn't know that it's like vampire themed, you might be very confused or concerned. But yeah, I love in the Drunk Days music video, just you kind of see their vampire powers too, like how Jake puts fire on the candles, or like Hee-sun has that like telepathy going on. Like it's very subtle and it's so fun to like pick up on like, ooh, what's his power? Or, like Jungwon is super fast. So, but yeah, it's fun. Yeah. The lore just adds a whole nother concept. Like Meg was saying, like it's more than just the music. It's the performance, it's the dance, it's the storyline, it's all of it. Yeah. All consumed together. Yeah.
I think it's why it grabs so many of us. Cause you're already like, oh, I like this song. And then you're like, wow, this group is really cool looking or attractive or they're amazing dancers. And then you're like a storyline. Like, oh, that's what got me into BTS. I loved BTS. I start looking up their music videos. And the third one I watched was I Need You. And I mean, I Need You is so dramatic. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. This guy just killed his stepdad. And this one just like in the bathtub. Like, it was heavy. And I tend to like some darker concepts. So that's honestly what made me obsessed with BTS. Their storyline was so beautiful. Yeah. So that's just like a little educating on K-pop. There's so much that goes into this. I think you both gave great arguments. And this is really just a matter of taste and opinion, because the groups are so different. The visuals are different. The music is different. So thank you so much, Bethany, Meg. Awesome, awesome arguments. But the pressure's on you, Paul. The pressure is on you. There's no right or wrong. No one's going to get mad. I think Engine and A2D have to be proud of our representatives. The moment of truth is here. Paul, who is the winner of this fandom face-off?
Well, after seeing the videos, listening to the songs, and hearing your impassioned speeches about them, I think I am having to choose 80s.
Oh, congratulations. Congratulations. What is it, Paul, that like put you over the edge? Because it sounded like you were really into and hype into. So what got the win for A2NEE?
Well, I think Meg helped a lot. She came wearing a shirt, first of all.
I have the Drunk Days cake, although I didn't say that, but it's there. I'm just throwing it out there.
I didn't know that. That's
so I'm so sorry. I didn't even notice.
I should have said something.
I have Wooyoung photo cards behind me also. Oh. There's Wooyoung eating bread. Anyway, yep.
And I do see it in Hypen album. Is that an album behind you, Bethany?
Yeah,
I see
that's it. Orange yeah, Blood.
Oh, no.
Let it be known that I am representing yes, a little.
Both fans had some merch representing their favorites. You guys will see.
But also Meg talked about having their inclusivity with how their members are and how the group was formed. I really like that story. That's kind of why I leaned that way. But I will have the other song in my to-go list, like whenever I play it. So
adding Criminal Love is a win for Bethany.
I am happy with that.
That's why, because Bethany, I think you text. I honestly forget the two songs you texted me about when I didn't know that it was.
I texted you.
Just like, do you, Meg? Would you like this song or this song better? And I was like, well, that song, but I think Criminal Love is like my favorite and Hypen song of all time.
Yeah. I think it was Criminal Love and Bills? Oh gosh, it was Bills.
I think it was Bills because you really like
another
Bills.
Great song. I love that song. Yeah,
it was all about great I didn't choice. Know what the judge would want, you know, and yeah. Bills is like very like. I don't know, like it's much softer, kind of sweeter, you know. That's, like
also, like Paul should add Bills to his to listen. And then I was going to, after I submitted the leaders and Bouncy, because I kind of forgot that I also was submitting a music video and my brain like wasn't computing that I told both of those things to Emily at the same time. And then like 3 hours later, I was like, oh my God, wait. Because I was like, those songs are kind of similar. So actually, I probably should. What if I submitted a different song that was different to Bouncy? And they have this song called Mist, which is like a really deep cut fan favorite. And it's kind of like Bills, not exactly like Bills, but it is kind of it's like different than their 80s is louder songs. So you can listen also two more songs.
Paul, was this enough to make you a fan?
It was enough to make me start to dabble in this. I don't know if I'm going headfirst into fandom.
Okay.
But I like the suggestions and I will definitely be listening to them. So
if ATs or Enhypen come to LA, do you want to go to the concert with me?
Absolutely.
Yay! Okay, we're doing it.
That's a win.
We're doing it.
Yeah, that's a win.
It's a total win. We're gonna do it for sure. And it'd be even better if Bethany and Meg visit and go to the concerts in LA. I know Meg's come out here. Bethany mentioned that she's come out for BTS. Do you guys have any plans to come out here for KCON, Crazy Super Concert? There's a bunch of stuff. Are you guys planning any LA trips soon?
I probably won't, but I also like, unless it's BTS, you know, like BTS, you know, it's going to be a bit, yeah. but like, obviously yeah. I'm another for BTS. But I don't usually go to like KCON or anything like that, although I hear so much about it and it seems like so much fun. But if I am out there for sure, like I'll hit you guys up and would love to,
yes.
to oh my God, see some please. K-pop concerts together.
Please. Yeah. I feel like now I'm like, I was just talking about how we're all like drug pushers. I'm like, come on, let's go to these other concerts, Bethany. It's so fun. No, you have to get into all these groups with us.
I know we all always like to, Emily already said it, but we always like to influence someone else to listen to what we love. But yes. I already told Emily this, but I already, KCON announced LA dates and they didn't even announce, a lineup announced yet. They have said nothing, and I bought my flight and my hotel already, so I'm going to be there. Like, and I justified it, like, it's been so long that, like, by the time I get there, I spent that money, like, 6 months ago, so, you know, it'll be free by the time it comes. But I had such a good time at KCON that I'll obviously go again. I don't know if I could make so hard to get to LA for other shows, unless, like, I'm going to go see ATs. I saw Enhypen the past 2 years also. So when they come back, I'm sure I'm going to see them again also. But just got to go to the main city that the groups are going to, which over for you is like New York, probably.
Yeah,
like
for you, it's New York. I haven't seen Enhypen. Well, take that back. I saw Enhypen at WeBridge last year, but that was only like five songs. So I haven't really been to like a concert. So I'm looking forward to their next tour so I can actually go to the tour. Because I'd like to see the whole show.
Yeah, they've really grown a lot. Like, especially seeing them with Manifesto and then seeing them because they are, I mean, they're still like, they're kind of a little pandemic group, you know? So they didn't have a live audience for a while.
Yeah.
And then, so I think you could sense maybe a little bit of their nerves at their first concert.
Yeah.
But in Chicago, oh my gosh, it was like, his song was a ham. Like, that boy did not stop. Like,
he's a star.
But you're right.
Yeah. No, he is a star. Like, I
demanded
really,
attention.
I had to like tone it down for my review of WeBridge because every once in a while when I see these K-pop groups, there's one person that's just such a star in person. And I thought that with him. I was like, oh wow, this is a different deal. Like, he really is that kind of it factor, born to be on stage type. But
they've all,
Nikki.
They're all really great. Yeah, they're all really great. Yeah.
And like, they've all grown so much. Mm-hmm. Like, Bethany's right. They grew, and they're just, that's wild that they've only been around for like 3 full years and they've already grown like 300%. It's really crazy.
Yeah. I'm excited for them.
Yeah, me too. They're huge, and their popularity has grown so much the past year. Like, when I talk to fans, definitely with younger fans that like boy groups, Enhypen. They're super popular. So their star will continue to rise. And ATs, Paul, ATs just had the number one album on the Billboard 200 with their last release, which was what, like a month ago? That's insane. It's amazing because, like Meg mentioned, they're not from one of the bigger labels that have the most money in K-pop. So they're definitely the underdogs. They have a nice underdog story. They've approached things differently. And it's worked for them. So I think it's interesting to watch them because they're kind of like disruptors in the industry. They do things a little differently to reach the success of the other groups that maybe have more funding behind them. I love both these groups. This was fun for me. You guys did such a great job. Thank you so much to Meg. Thank you so much to Bethany. Would you like to share your social media so people can get in touch with you?
Sure, they can. I mean, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I'm a co-host of Standing BTS podcast. So definitely go check that out. That's Standing BTS Pod, I believe, on Twitter, maybe Standing BTS Podcast on Instagram. My personal Instagram, I guess, and Twitter is at Babe Slaughter or Babe's Laughter, awesome. I think is a better way to remember it.
Yeah, I was like, Bethany is edgy over here. No, my goodness.
That's my old last name.
I got it.
It was good for
totally
sports.
and I will be, for everyone listening, if you didn't catch everything, I'm going to post all of this in the description as well. So Meg, would you like to share your socials?
Yep. So I have a YouTube channel that is called Han and Only, and that's like a reference to my old bias, Han from Stray Kids. But my Twitter handle is Aomego, which is the same as when I had it when I was in like high school. Those are my like main two, okay, like Twitter and my YouTube, where I have like K-pop content and photo card collecting and stuff on there too. So you can go check it out for that stuff.
Yes. And Paul, what would you like to share?
You can just follow Cosmopolitan. I'm pretty much just on Instagram these days. I stopped Twitter a long time ago. But Instagram's great. Yeah, I'm on YouTube with Misguided, my Cosmopolitan Entertainment YouTube channel.
I will list all of that. You guys have to watch Paul's show. It's so well done. If you love soap operas, there are a lot of familiar faces. The cast is full of very well-known soap stars. And the fourth season is coming out this year, so it's a good time to get into it. Catch up before the new show comes out. Everything's going to be listed. So if you want to follow all three of these amazing guests, that would be great. Thank you all so, so much for being a part of this. I love doing this. I love talking about this music and sharing K-pop knowledge and passion. And most importantly, being friendly, being positive. There's no fan wars. There's no need for fan wars. We're all friends and we can share our love without tearing others down. So let's continue to keep it positive. Thank you all so much for being here with me. I appreciate it. Fandom Face-Off, Aitani is the winner. Congratulations to ATs and Aitani. Congratulations, Meg.
Thanks.
Meg, thanks. Very enthusiastic winner over here, guys. Okay, that's it for now. We will be back with the next Fandom Face-Off within the next 4 to 6 weeks. And this time, it's girl groups. That's right. Girl group fans, get ready. Blinks, onces. It's a big one. So until then, this is Fandom Face-Off. Congratulations to the winners. Thank you all for joining us.
Congratulations to ATs, Aitani. Congratulations, Meg. Amazing battle. You guys, how great was Meg? And Bethany, I'm pretty sure we're going to be best friends. It's so special when you meet people from the community that you've never met before. I've been familiar with Bethany's work, of course, like most K-pop fans, but to be able to have her as a guest on the show, amazing. Paul was an amazing guest judge, wasn't he? I don't know if you guys noticed, but Paul was really paying attention. He was taking notes during the contestants' pleas. He really took it seriously and showed respect for not only the show, but the genre, the music, the contestants, and what Fandom Face-Off is about. So massive thank you to you, Paul. I'm so, so happy you came on. You guys, support Misguided. Soap fans, you don't want to miss his show. Links and info are in the description. Oh, that was so much fun. I want to do Fandom Face-Off every week. It's such a fun segment. I love hearing people talk about what they're passionate about. And in this space, it's really exciting because I share the passion. It's always fun to connect with other K-pop lovers. Hopefully you all enjoyed that. As you heard at the end of the segment, casting has officially begun. The next Fandom Face-Off, Blinks versus Once. That's it. Are you a Twice fan? Are you a Blackpink fan? Do you ride hard for your girls? If so, please submit. You've seen how Fandom Face-Off works. It's a friendly environment. We're always going to keep it civil, friendly, fun. Please reach out. I'd love to have you on the show. It's a fun experience for everyone involved. And if you think you can rep your fandom best, please, please, please reach out. Shoot me an email. I'd love to have you. I love doing this. I love doing Fandom Face-Off. Let's do it again. Blinks, onces, I'm looking for you. Shoot me an email. We'll figure out the scheduling. It's remote. It takes between 30 minutes to maybe an hour in total. And it's fun. You get to be on the show and you get to rep your favorite group. Thank you so much, Meg, Paul, Bethany. Amazing episode. Congratulations, Atini. Let's move on to some K-pop news. A lot has happened in K-pop since I last spoke with you. Here's what's going on. Massive announcement, ladies and gents. Coachella has dropped the lineup. ATEEZ, La Seraphim, and The Rose will all be performing at Coachella this year. Congratulations, guys. That is so, so exciting. Big week for ATEEZ. They win Fandom Face-Off, and they're announced as Coachella performers. They're making history as the first Korean K-pop boy band to perform at Coachella. Of course, Blackpink headlined Coachella. They shut it down. They killed it. La Seraphim is following in amazing footsteps. And there have been Korean bands that have performed at Coachella. I wasn't surprised at all to see The Rose. You know, they've been touring nonstop. They've been playing a lot of festivals. I feel like they played Lollapalooza everywhere Lollapaloozas happen. So they're going to be ready for this opportunity. How exciting. And when I see stuff like this, it's when I start laughing about people saying K-pop popularity is dying. And, you know, reports like that, nah. K-pop's taking over. K-pop will continue to take over. So who's going to Coachella? Who's going to Coachella in April? Tickets are on sale. I believe tickets went on sale the day this podcast drops, the 19th of January. So go grab your tickets if you want to see ATEEZ, La Seraphim, or The Rose. NCT New Team finally has a name. They're not going to just be called New Team. I wasn't sure. I was starting to think, like, is this going to be their name? They're called NCT Wish. I think NCT Wish makes sense after, like, NCT Dream. It's just that, like, Wavy and 127 maybe aren't as cohesive with the whole thing, but NCT Wish is a lot better than New Team. I'll give them that. Huge news for IU fans. IU announced dates for her world tour, including stops in the U.S. That's right. She's coming here. The Queen. I have a lot of friends that are really excited about this. Her tour kicks off in Seoul on March 2nd, and she ends here in LA on August 2nd. Get ready. Get ready for those tickets. I think IU is not at risk of not selling out. I could be wrong, but she's a legend and people are going to come out to support her. Comeback news, P1 Harmony, a full comeback, a full album. It's actually their first full album, which shocked me. But then I started thinking about it and I was like, I guess these have been mini albums and EPs. But they're giving us a full album, February 5th, aptly titled Killing It. They're killing it. And I know I'm not the only one that says that about groups all the time. I use that phrase quite a bit. So I love this because I think a lot of you know I really, really like P1 Harmony. I'm looking forward to that comeback. Red Velvet's Wendy is working on new music for a comeback later this year. Speaking of like royalty, that is the vocal queen of K-pop. I love her voice. Looking forward to that release. NCT's Haechan was caught vaping in the practice room. Okay, this was big news. You know how things go with Korean media. So he was vaping, like in a dance practice video when they're taking a break, you could see him vape, smoke an e-cigarette. So fans pointed it out and got the authorities involved. I think that's what happened here. Correct me if I'm wrong, but anyways, SM apologized and he had to pay a fine for smoking indoors. So, okay. This is way more scandalous, way more scandalous. A boy group member just got in major, major trouble. It was revealed that he pretended to have a mental disability to evade military enlistment. The rumors are that it's LAM, L-A-M's member Domo, D-O-M-O. I couldn't verify that. It looks like it may be true because he announced today he was leaving the group after it was made public that he tried to evade enlistment.
not 100% sure. So that's why I'm saying that. But in any case, that's pretty low. He pretended he had an IQ of 60. Nobody wants to go to the military. You think any of these guys at the height of their career from the really big popular groups want to go to the military? Nobody wants to do that. But to like go to these lengths to avoid it, you're wrong for that. There's nothing cool about that at all. That's really shady behavior. And I think he has to serve like a year in jail, and there's definitely consequences to his actions. So nobody wants to do it. Just show up. I hope it goes fast. Don't pretend you have an IQ of 60. Anyways, let's move on. Speaking of enlistment, RM, V, Jungkook, and Jimin just graduated from basic training. Army, time is flying. Time is flying. Before you know it, they'll be back. We're already in 2024. 2025 is going to come quick. I want to say happy birthday to Monsta X's Hyungwon. You all know how much I love Hyungwon. He celebrated his birthday on the 15th this week. Jennie from Blackpink, her birthday is the 16th. Those two actually share birthdays with my parents. So massive happy birthday to my mom and dad, as well as two of my favorite K-pop idols. And shout out to all the Capricorns watching and listening. We're in Capricorn season. I hope you're enjoying your season. It's cold a lot of places. There are moments where I am so, so grateful that I moved to LA. And I've got to be real. The past couple weeks when I talked to my family and friends back on the East Coast in Pittsburgh, I am so grateful to be in LA, going on hikes, seeing a blue sky. So sending some sunshine and warm vibes to everyone who lives in a colder climate. I never minded the cold. I actually kind of liked a crisp cold feeling. I loved, you know, sledding and snowball fights and white Christmas. There's a lot to be said for cold weather and snow in the winter. But when I started thinking maybe I should relocate to a warmer location was when I got my dog and had to take him outside multiple times a day when it was frozen. And in New York or in cities where you don't have grass and they go on the sidewalk, I would have to like cover his paws with stuff because the sidewalks were covered with salt and he wouldn't wear his booties. It's a nightmare. So to anyone dealing with that, I am sending a lot of love and positivity to you. It's very specific. There's really one listener in the world that's like, yep, that's me with my dog right now. But trust me, I feel you. I get it. I used to hate that with a passion. So I hope everyone's staying warm and your pets are staying warm. And I hope that you're healthy and happy and 2024 is off to a great start for you. Like I said the other week, if it's not, no worries. The year just started. Something I've learned that's really valuable, you can always start over. You can always press reset. It doesn't matter where you are in your life or what you're doing. You can start over. And I used to hear that advice a lot and be like, no, I'm too old. Number one, you're never too old. You're never too old. And I know when you hear that, you're not taking it in because we're taught in our society that life is over by 30 or by 40 or by 50. It's not. I dramatically changed my entire life, my career path, everything about my life. I changed a lot later than most people, and I've never been happier. So please, like, if you're going through something or if you feel like it's too late, it's not too late. Pursue whatever you want to pursue this year. Change your life. Do it. It's worth it, if only for the reason that you don't have to take your dog outside in the freezing cold and snow. I will be back next week. A lot of new music is coming out in the next couple weeks. So next week, Huey from Pentagon just released a project that I really want to talk about and shine some light on. I'm going to give you a review of that next week. Even's first comeback, you know, they were one of my most slept on groups of 2023. Their first comeback is here. I can't wait to review it. Maybe I'll talk about IVE's first English single. Maybe some AB6. We'll see.
but you need to come back to see and hear who I review. This episode was a dream. Thank you again to Bethany, Meg, and Paul for giving us an amazing fandom face-off. I am so happy I don't have to judge these. I love bringing on guest judges because I'm so passionate about all of these groups. And I think the song choices are really interesting. Hearing why people like a group and care about them so much, it always reminds me how important music is and how it really is the great connector and the universal language. So I hope you all enjoyed Fandom Face Off. Again, if you want to be in the next one, I'm casting for Blinks and Once. If you're a Twice fan, if you're a Blackpink fan, come on down. It's your turn. Let's do this Fandom Face Off. Until next week's episode, stay healthy, warm, and happy. I love you all so much. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for allowing me to do this every week, for welcoming me into your lives. I'm so grateful for all of you. Have a great week. Bye.